today. And so today, Holly Toss is going to come and going to share with us the last section of Ephesians. So this Holly Toss, we can honor her, please.
Hello.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to set these off to the side for later. Just before I forget. Good morning, everyone. I just want to thank Perry and Lois for the chance to be able to speak. It's great to have pastors that like to see us be free and move in who we are. I appreciate that. And I also want to thank Denny and Angie and Laurel. Denny and Laurel helped me print some stuff off because I don't have a printer at home, and Angie does all kinds of things. Thank you, Angie. So I was thinking, I love what Judy shared in her prayer slash declaration, because it's so good just to go back and remember where we came from. You know, to remember, what was it like before I got saved? What was it like the day that I gave my life to the Lord? And to remember just the goodness of that. It's just good to remember and ponder on that. So, okay, well, I'm just going to go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you for who you are, God. We just welcome you here today in your fullness. We welcome you, Lord Jesus. We welcome the presence of your freedom, Holy Spirit, and we welcome you, you, Father God, to do whatever it is you want to do. And we just thank you for everyone here, that you're more than able, and we just ask you to help us to hear you and see you and be closer to you today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I'm going to share on Ephesians chapter 6. If you have your Bible or phone, and we're going to go through verses 10 to 24. I probably won't get to everything because I was kind of thinking God's word is like, I was thinking of coal mining, but, you know, miners, they didn't just come and find it on the surface of the ground. They actually had to go down and look. You can imagine having one of these little hats. That's kind of how I feel when I get into the word. You shine your little light, and then you see this precious stone on the wall, and you're thinking, wow. But then you kind of shine it around, and there's all these other precious stones. And you think, I can't just leave this stuff here. I got to excavate it, take it with me, and share it. So, thank you. So, Angie's put up a screenshot for us here. And we'll start on our scripture here with verses 11 and 12. Which says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly realms. And the word scheme is defined like this: a large-scale, systematic plan for putting a particular idea into effect, a project, tactic, strategy, or game plan. A devious way to do something wrong. And devious is a skillful use of underhanded tactics. So I wonder if we ever thought of the fact that we're the devil's project. I mean, the word teaches, you know, he comes up with specific, well-thought-out ideas for evil against you. John 10:10 says that he comes only for these reasons: to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not our friend. It's pretty straightforward that he's just up to no good. Okay? So, but there seems to be a temptation in the atmosphere in these days to kind of become desensitized and fooled into believing that there's, you know, no danger of evil, or that we need to be aware of, that we can go around even as Christians without a concern or live any way that we want to. But the truth is, We do have an enemy. We need to know how to deal with him. And actually, the devil has a family too. If you think about the scripture, it says principalities and powers. So, but that's a whole nother subject, so we won't go there. Okay, so we're going to move on and give some examples of how a scheme comes into play, because we really need to be able to recognize when his tactics are being initiated, because otherwise we're not going to do anything about it, or we're going to believe it as truth when it's not actually truth. And these are just the, you know, this is part of our shield, which we'll talk about later. You see the fiery darts. The little, we were talking about this today in Sunday school class. The little, and I think it's very sneaky, subtle sometimes, little thoughts or things that the enemy will give us to see if we'll receive it. Because the Bible says, so a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So some examples of that, to me it's like a picture of like a long corridor. And just for example, the enemy tells you, I had someone share with me that they were never allowed to speak up. You were seen but not heard in their generation when they were raised up. And so any time that they would go to speak, if someone even spoke around when they wanted to, the devil would go, well, nobody wants to hear what you have to say. You have nothing important to say. What you think and feel isn't even important. So that's like one door into the corridor. If you step into that door, he's got another one ready. And it goes deeper and deeper until you go into hopelessness, discouragement, you know, and it's all these. So then you're kind of trapped in this labyrinth and aren't sure how to get out. So it's not a good way to go. We have to know how to battle that up front. Another good example of a scheme, Robin Moore said I could use her as an example. One of the things God's called her to is health, good health, you know, to be able to be strong and help other people through different things like landscaping or whatnot. And she went through a time period where she started to have some symptoms of some things. And she started to study it out, like on the internet and look. And you have to be careful, even with Google, believe it or not, of what you're seeing and what you're listening to, because that's not always truth, you know. So when she started to do that, I saw where the enemy started to plant some seeds. And I knew that I knew that I knew in my spirit that that wasn't God. That was a tactic against her to see if she would grab a hold of that and then start to walk in it. So she started to recognize that too and say, you know what, this isn't. You know, he just tried to expand on that. Now, you do have to use some wisdom, because sometimes you have to know, you know, when you're supposed to discern that it's a tactic and ignore it, or if you need to go see a doctor and have some medical help. There's both. We have to walk in a balance. But the thing about that is, I keep trying to look at my notes and the Lord is stretching me. So, that's all right. Okay. Okay, so through our relationship with the Holy Spirit in prayer, we can know what we're supposed to do and what the difference is. Okay, we each, all of us, one, needs to have confidence that we hear from God individually. Okay, and we do because the Bible says so in John 10, 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Simple, period. He said it, so we believe it. So that's all of us. It doesn't say my one favorite lamb, or my prophet lamb, or my TV evangelist lamb. It says each of us, you know. So we have to take God at his word. He said it, I'm believing it. And then that doesn't mean we don't accept wise counsel from those around us either, okay? But it does mean that we don't substitute our own relationship with God for other things. We don't want to chase the experience around the world, you know. We want to make sure that we have our own relationship with God, because when we don't, that's where we get into that sinking, unsteady sand. We want to be on the rock, okay? So the flip side of that verse, that the devil comes only to kill, steal, and destroy, is that Jesus came to give us life. And not just life, but life more abundantly. the extra plush version. So he gives us this training that we can put into effect so we can be wise and alert and walking in life more abundant. You know, it's good to have the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life. It doesn't feel good at times, but it is good because the word says that that proves we're his legitimate children. We're not the other thing. That's a bad word that I can't say. You know, we belong to him, so we should rejoice that he's in our house. I love the handout that Tom gave out after he spoke, which is My Heart, His Home. If you didn't get one of those, I'm sure Tom will be glad to get you one, but it's very good. I've been chewing on it for a while, and it just is good to allow the Lord in to take inventory, you know? He knows what's behind those doors anyway. It's not like he's like, I can't see past there, you know? So, okay, so moving on to verse 13 and 14, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And a belt is just simply used to hold things in place. Okay? Truth keeps us in a secure place in Christ. Psalm 51:6 says, you desire truth in the innermost being. And so we need to be truthful with ourselves and truthful with others. So, you wouldn't think of that as a protection, but it is a protection. And we don't always want to be truthful with the Lord or others, even as Christians, right? Okay, so then with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and what righteousness is, it's simply right standing. It's imputed through Jesus when you're saved, okay, in regards to our salvation. However, we still have to walk in a continual adherence to both the letter and the spirit of God's law or his word. So to make it simple, we have to walk in a balance between the logos, which is the written word, and the rhema, which is his spoken word, which is, I had this really cool picture of the Bible, and I would say this person coming out of the Bible embracing the words, embracing this woman. And I totally forgot what I was going to say. I can have a senior moment because I'm getting there. Thank you. The rhema word, thank you, Robin, is something that, you know, you're reading along and it jumps off the page at you and embraces you and you think, wow, that was about this, but that jumped right off the page for me for this season. That's what I've been praying about. That's the answer to my question. And you just know that you know because the Holy Spirit's letting you know. And it's like, woo, yes, I know what to do now. So, okay, so this will keep us in right standing. Walking in all of one or the other will result in holes in our breastplate where the enemy can attack our vital organs. So we need a balance of both. We don't want holes where the enemy can stab us. Okay, verse 15 says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And this was a pretty neat study because I learned all kinds of new things about the armor that I didn't know before. That's what the word is like. It's always new and fresh, and you have more that you can learn. So the sandals of the Roman soldiers were called, and if I don't pronounce this right, sorry, but caliga. They were heavy sandals studded with hobnails. What they would do is, kind of like in this picture, they would give a secure foothold or a firm stand-up position when the enemy tried to advance. And what they would try to do is dislodge their footing. So if they could catch their footing off, then they could take them down. Okay, so these hobnails anchored the sole of the shoe to give it stability or peace. So we don't want the enemy to take our feet out from under us. We need God's peace that surpasses all understanding to anchor our souls, especially in these late days. You can tell there's a shift in things. You know, and it's time for us to rise up, wake up, be aware, be alert. So, verse 16, in addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now this goes back to avoiding the fiery darts, the schemes and the lies. And God showed me something new about this. He said, when we've taken up our shield, it's like we're carrying around a fire extinguisher all day in the spirit. So because faith produces hope, which extinguishes discouragement, we have the ability to put out fires, and not just our own fires. We can actually put out fires for others by the way we handle ourselves. We can speak life over others where someone is speaking not life, you know, and cover them with our shield. So we can choose not to enter into other people's gossip, and it puts their fire out. And I put a little comment here. After all, gossip is just being too lazy or selfish to pray. Okay, so verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the helmet of salvation, considering that you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, salvation gives you the blessed assurance that Jesus is yours and you're his. That you are in an eternal covenant. So, like Pastor Perry said, it never ends. And he's faithful to his covenant, even when we're not. It's the most amazing thing. I think, out of anything, his faithfulness to us. I love David, because he looked at his heart, you know, he was looking at his heart. His heart was still towards him, even though he messed up, even though he made mistakes. And like Paul said, darn it, every time I try to do what's right, I do wrong. Yeah. It's just like, why is that how I'm like? You know, we have things about us that we're like, why am I like that? And, you know, that's the blessed assurance of the helmet of salvation right there. Thanks, Barb. That's good. She's helping me out here. Okay, so practically speaking, what you are, you're actually reminding yourself that you have eternal life, that you're an heir, that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So you're actually stating and declaring your position. And sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of that because we forget. So then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is what our activation will be about today. This is our only offensive weapon in the armor, so it's very important in gaining ground and winning battles, not just defending ourselves the whole time. So when you read the word, it gets stored in your heart like an electronic library. You know, you're in a situation when the Holy Spirit needs to pull it up, boom, there's that scripture you delve into last year, or here's this one, and he can pull it up at any time, you know, and he does. And that's how we know what to do, where, you know, our sword comes out. And I thought, it's kind of like, you know, the lightsabers from Star Wars, you know. Wouldn't you hate to pull out that sword and all you've got there is a little nub going, rrr. It's like, uh-oh, haven't been in the Word. Okay, verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Sometimes you have another Christian or brother or sister come on your heart for no reason. You don't know why. It just happens. It's the way the Holy Spirit works. That's a perfect opportunity to pray in the Spirit, because you might not know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit knows perfectly how to pray. And he just kind of wants you to allow him to pray through you. God showed me that the Holy Spirit can accomplish so much when we pray in the Spirit. I love that. We don't always have to know how to pray perfectly. That's because his ways are above our ways, and his thoughts are above our thoughts. I don't know we always realize that, but That's okay. We'll keep learning. Okay, so I'm going to circle back around to the beginning of the verse, which is verse 10. And this is really kind of summing up all of Ephesians. I loved hearing everyone speak. I loved when Jeremy was leading the service and he said, I'm hesitant to speak. You know, he was being sensitive to the Holy Spirit that that's not what he wanted him to do at that moment. And Lord, let us all be that way, sensitive to you. So in verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Alan Dowse mentioned when he spoke that he doesn't believe we've even begun to tap into God's mighty power. And I agree with him. So what is the Lord's mighty power? So many times we read a scripture and we just go right past it and it's like, I have no idea what that means. But I believe he showed me that it actually all goes back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God's mighty power, or his resurrection power, is the power of his unconditional love. I mean, what was it that drew you to the Lord? I would say, most people would say it was his unconditional love, that he loved me in spite of who I was. People didn't love me in spite of who I was. My family didn't love me, but he loved me in spite of who I was. Okay, and then after he taught us about the gifts in 1 Corinthians, he made sure we knew that the greatest of these is love. So love is God's mighty power. That's why Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3 is so powerful. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to be able to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And I have to say, his love is amazing. So it does take years. I don't think that we'll ever, from now until the time we go to be with Jesus, stop discovering the height and depth of his love. So that brings me to if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you can start experiencing his unconditional love today. Like if you're feeling compelled in your heart that you were here not by mistake, or you feel a pushing or a prodding, that's the Holy Spirit working on you. And he's drawing you to Jesus. So if you do feel that prodding today, don't ignore it. Don't care what anyone thinks. There are three schemes or lies the devil uses to keep people from coming to Jesus. One of them is, I have to get myself all cleaned up first, then I'll come. But all of us could stand up and go, that's a lie, you know, because it's just not true. We can't change ourselves without the power of God. Keep trying. You'll come back in a circle. The second one is, I'm a good person, so I must already be a Christian. That's not true. You know, Jesus tells us the truth because he loves us, not because he wants us to straighten up. You know, that too, but. So, what a Christian is simply accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because we're all born the same way. We're all born sinners. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross for our sin. So, we all are in need of him, whether we're good or not in our own eyes. The third one is, well, he's too good to be true. I can see where that lie can be grasped because he is good. He really is good. And the fourth one is, I have plenty of time to do that. I'll do it later. And that grieves me because I have talked to people who knew when they got saved that that was their chance. The Holy Spirit let them know that day. And what the Bible teaches about that is none of us are going to have an excuse. Like, we can't come and say, you know, God, nobody ever told me. I never had a chance because he said he's going to cover the whole earth with his glory. He said men will be without excuse. And Revelation teaches that in the last days, men are going to try to run and hide under rocks because after that, it's too late. So today is the day of salvation. You know, if the Lord is pulling at your heart, don't just give in. Just let him. You won't be sorry. So very shortly, Pastor Perry will give you, and if that's you, he'll give you an instruction on how you can pray with someone and how you can get saved. But first, we're going to do a short activation. It's simply a confession. I heard Gene, I was in Sunday school class, and I heard Gene out here, and they were practicing in worship, and she just started to declare things, and you could feel the atmosphere shift. There's such a power in the power of confession. Even what we're speaking out of our mouth at home on a daily basis anywhere, there's power in our words. So sometimes I think we're hosts for the Holy Spirit. How does he feel in us? What does he see? How does he feel? There's so much power in the things we confess. So we're going to, Angie put up a confessional. And if you, oh, I felt like I was going to pull a cord out of the wall. If you would like to come get one of these afterwards and take it home with you, we're not going to read the scripture verses when we do the confessional. But it will give you the whys of why the word is so important. So feel free to help yourself to one of these after service if you'd like one. Can everybody see? I think that's half of it. That's only half of it. Oh, there's a second half? Okay. Thank you. I can't see who's back there. Hi, Grace. Okay. So we're just going to say this together then. God, your word speaks for itself. It is alive and powerful. It cuts to the chase. It causes the passion of Jesus to be made known to me. It conforms me into your image. I need to hide it in my heart so I won't sin against you. I'm not ashamed of it. I won't apologize for it. I won't keep it to myself. I'll live it out every day with the Holy Spirit's help. Amen. And that's all I have. Thank you.